So I'm glad that I'm not married. It's kind of obvious, but it's not just for the I don't want to have a child thing. It's that I would not have reacted as Mary did. I'm pretty confident of that. With the humility, the willingness, I'm pretty sure that kind of my desires in life, my agenda, my plan would easily have gotten in the way. This is sort of what we've been talking about the past 6 weeks, if you've been here. It's the question, what do you desire in life? What is it that you're actually after? I'll share with you again, even though I've shared with you the past few weeks, what I desire, what I'm actually after in life. This Christmas week, what I would really like is rest. For some reason, all the hustle and bustle creates a pressure and an anxiety and a stress. And just for this Christmas week and maybe the week after, I would like a little bit of rest. And I'm going to have to admit, I wouldn't mind if that rest from anxiety and stress and pressure lasted throughout the whole year. And when I look ahead to the year upcoming, it's not just freedom from pressure and anxiety that I'm looking for. I would like a year filled with well-being. I mean, wouldn't you? A year where maybe we stay healthy and I'm healthy and my family is healthy and there's not broken arms or the flu and there's not cancer and swollen creeks and fires in houses. I would like that kind of a year of well-being. I want things to go well at home and at work and in my relationships. I want the kind of satisfaction that we're looking for in life. That's what I desire. And you know what I always want? Not just in the new year, but what I always want is I want to enjoy life. I really do. I desire to have a good marriage and connection with my children and time with my friends. I want to be as much as I can with family and friends, being able to eat and play and laugh and joke around and have time together. I want a full table with a full cup, life to the full, and I want it to last. You know, there's a biblical word that sums up all of these things that I desire. Peace. But only as defined in the biblical sense. It's from the Hebrew word shalom. And if you've been here, you may have heard me mention it. Somebody I'm married to said I've mentioned it a few too many times recently. Shalom, or biblical peace, does not just mean achieving zen. It's not inner om, which is really actually detachment from all desires. Actually, the Hebrew notion, the biblical notion of peace, is the fulfillment of all of life's deepest desires. Not escape from them. It is life to the full. Life as it was meant to be. Life as it's intended. Life as you were made to live, that you know deep down in you want. And it's that kind of life forever. I desire that kind of peace. But I'm glad that I'm not Mary, because everything the angel Gabriel said to her would have sounded like the overturning of the entire apple cart of my life. I can't imagine that what the angel said to her matched her expectations for her life. You know, she's a young woman with dreams and desires and plans of her own. And I don't think that anything the angel said matched what she was looking for. But I suppose that's often how God does it, isn't it? It's what Jesus does time and again. He overturns the apple carts of assumptions and expectations in our life. He throws things upside down, if you will. It's not the good older brother in the parable who's in. It's the out of control younger brother who comes to his senses. It's not the morally upright religious leader who is welcomed in. It's the prostitute who weeps and worships Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't always give us what we are seeking, what we think we want. But he always offers us what we need. Jesus fulfills our deepest desires. But often, and honestly, here is one of those times, it's in the most unexpected sort of ways. What does the angel say to Mary? The fact that there's an angel is kind of a bit absurd, isn't it? Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. He goes on to say, don't be afraid, Mary. God has extended his grace on you, not because you are extraordinary, but honestly because you are so ordinary. Because there are 1,000 or 1,000,000 other Marys out there. Common women who hadn't yet had a baby. But God has put his hand upon you. And don't worry, Mary. You're going to bear a son. But you're going to name him Jesus, which means God saves. He saves. And he will be the Son of God. And he will bring the eternal peace that all people are looking for. I think if I were Mary, I would not have reacted well to this news. It probably would have been something like this. Oh, sorry, Gabriel. I think you have the wrong girl here. I mean, this doesn't match my plans for life. You know what's going to happen. I'm betrothed to Joseph. I'm going to get married in the next year. We're going to have a family. We're going to live here in Nazareth with all of our family and friends. That's the life I'm looking for. That's my plan. I mean, don't get me wrong, Gabriel. I want salvation, and I want life to the full, and I want the sort of peace I think you're offering. But I have a vision in my own head of what it's supposed to look like and how I'm going to get there. I think that's what I would have said because, honestly, on a daily basis, it is what I do. On a daily basis, I don't seek my peace in God and in his ways. I seek peace in any other source that seems more natural to me. And so when I need some peace, I go to bed, or I turn on the TV, or I just do something that I want to do for me, right? I find sources of peace that I think will satisfy, but I don't turn to the source of peace who will satisfy. You know what I'm looking for, God? How about just a little help? Not a savior. But Christmas is not about God offering a little help so we can achieve the kind of life we're after. You know, a little kind of boost, a cleared path. Christmas is about God becoming one of us to offer us the life we truly need. The life we're truly after. The book of Isaiah, which we had a couple of readings from, is filled with all sorts of promises and longings for peace, true peace. As you walk through Isaiah, you see these pictures, and the description of the kind of peace that Isaiah offers is kind of eternal and cosmic peace. It says there will come a day when all wrongs will be righted, and we will be able to rest and play and rejoice and be comforted and fed and healed with family and friends and celebrating forever. This picture of what it can be like and will be like one day is peace. But in Isaiah, as with most of the biblical texts, this kind of peace, deep and lasting peace, only happens in the presence of God. True peace only comes when God comes, when God arrives on the scene, as it were. Years later, after Isaiah, after Jesus, Paul reflects on Christmas and connects it to the cross when he writes, "In Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Jesus, God reconciled all things to himself." In Jesus, God was pleased to dwell and to bring us the peace that we are truly in need of. And this is essentially what Christmas claims. We need God to dwell with us. We need God to restore us to him. And only then can we have the sort of peace that we long for and desire deep down in. And God's promises at Christmas are not just to dwell in Jesus who comes as Savior, but through faith in Christ that God will dwell in us through His Spirit, and one day we will dwell with God eternally. But it's hard. It's hard to kind of grab hold of that Christmas peace. The peace of dwelling with God, face to face with God, day in and day out. It's hard because it takes constant, complete, and total humility. And some of us aren't very good at that. It is not insignificant that God's means of saving the world, of restoring all of humanity, of offering eternal peace, is not a political agenda. It's not a rule of life to become better people. God's means of saving the world is a baby. It's somewhat absurd. It's at least paradoxical. And it requires humility to accept this. Christmas demands that I set aside my assumptions and my intellectual overconfidence and ask earnest questions, not cynical questions, earnest questions like Mary asked when she said, "What sort of news is this? Could this really be? How?" Faith in Christ always begins with humble questions like that. Could this really be? And faith in Christ always ends with humble, willing surrender, something like Mary's words, "Let it be to me as you have said." I wonder if this Christmas we can ask the right sorts of questions, look again at what God is offering, and maybe just for brief moments set aside what we think we need and find what we truly need. Let me pray. Lord Jesus Christ, if you really are the Savior born on Christmas morning, the one who reconciled God and sinners, give us humility, the ability to set down our own plan, and maybe even the willingness to say, "Let it be to me as you have said." Amen.